ask a chat assistant, what is our company's parental leave policy? And watch what happens. Some models will say they do not know. Others will confidently invent one. Both responses point at the same wall. The model was never trained on your company's HR handbook, and asking it to try harder will not change that. The fix is not a bigger or smarter model. The fix is to put the right document in front of the model at the right moment. That is retrieval augmented generation, almost always abbreviated RAG, and it is the most common pattern for getting a language model to answer questions about knowledge it was not trained on. The previous lesson on prompting, Lecture 3, covered how to talk to the model. This lesson is about what to put in the prompt when what to put is buried somewhere in hundreds of pages of documents the model has never seen. By the end, you will know what RAG is, the canonical pipeline that makes it work, the failure mode that breaks each stage, and the structural security issue RAG introduces that does not exist when you talk to a model directly. What RAG actually is. RAG is two steps. First, retrieve documents relevant to the user's question from a knowledge base. Second, put those documents in the prompt and ask the model to answer the question using them. That is the whole idea. Everything else is the pipeline that makes those two steps work at scale. RAG solves three real problems that direct prompting cannot. The knowledge cutoff problem. Pre-training ended at a fixed date. Anything that happened after that is not in the model's weights. RAG bypasses this entirely. If your ingestion pipeline keeps the index current, the model can answer about yesterday. The private data problem. Your company's HR handbook, your code base, your customer support transcripts, your internal wiki. None of these were in pre-training, and none of them belong in pre-training. RAG lets the model use them at query time without ever training on them. The hallucination grounding problem. When a model produces a confident answer with no source, you have to trust the model. When a model produces an answer alongside the document chunks it was given as context, you can verify. RAG does not eliminate hallucination, but it shifts the verification burden onto something a human can actually check. The canonical pipeline. A working RAG system has five stages. Some implementations collapse stages or add intermediate ones, but the canonical shape is below. Each stage is a separate decision and a separate failure surface. Stage 1, chunking. You start with a corpus of documents. Some are short, many are long. A model's context window is finite, and embedding models work better on chunks that represent a single coherent idea than on whole documents. So the first job is to split documents into chunks, typically 200 to 800 tokens each. Chunk size is also bounded above by the embedding model's own input limit, often around 512 tokens, which couples this stage tightly to the next one. The simplest approach is fixed length splitting. Every 400 tokens, with some overlap so you do not split mid-sentence at the boundary. More careful approaches split on sentence boundaries, then on paragraph boundaries, then merge until each chunk hits a target size. Document-aware chunkers respect markdown headings, code blocks, or table boundaries. Chunking is the most underestimated stage in the pipeline. Chunks that are too large dilute relevance. The embedding represents the average meaning of a chunk that contains five different things. Chunks that are too small lose context. A chunk that says, "This is required," is useless without the section heading that defines what this refers to. The chunking strategy that works on contracts is wrong for code, and the strategy that works on code is wrong for chat messages. Stage 2, embedding. Each chunk goes through an embedding model, the same kind of model covered in the embeddings lesson earlier in this track, and becomes a vector of a few hundred to a few thousand floating point numbers. These vectors get stored in a vector database, FAISS, Pinecone, Weavy8, Chroma, and others, indexed for fast nearest neighbor lookup. The embedding model is not the language model. It is a separate, usually much smaller model whose only job is to map text to vectors so that semantically similar text ends up nearby in vector space. Quality matters here. A general-purpose embedding model on highly specialized text, legal contracts, biomedical literature, your domain-specific jargon, will produce embeddings that cluster the wrong things together. This stage runs once when you index a document, and again whenever the document changes. It is the slowest part of the pipeline at index time, the fastest part at query time. Stage 3, query embedding and retrieval. When a user asks a question, the question itself goes through the same embedding model and becomes a vector. The vector database finds the top k chunks, often k is 5 or 10, whose vectors are nearest to the query vector, usually by cosine similarity. Those k chunks are the retrieved context. A few practical points about retrieval. Use the same embedding model for documents and queries. Different embedding models live in different vector spaces. Mixing them produces meaningless distances. This is one of the most common silent bugs in early RAG implementations. Pure semantic search misses keyword matches. A query for section 4.2.1 should retrieve the chunk that contains that literal string, not the chunk with the most similar overall meaning. Production RAG systems usually combine semantic search, vector similarity, with lexical search, BM25 or similar, and merge the rankings. This is called hybrid search. Top K from the vector store is often a candidate set, not the final context. Production retrieval usually runs in two stages: a fast candidate retrieval stage that pulls a wide net, typically the top 100 or so chunks by embedding similarity, optimized for recall, then a slower re-ranking stage that rescores those candidates with a more expensive model and keeps the best handful, optimized for precision. The architectural distinction between the two stages is worth slowing down on, because it shows up in production RAG everywhere. Bi-encoder, the candidate retrieval architecture. The query and each chunk pass through the embedding model separately. The query becomes one vector. Each chunk has a pre-computed vector. You compare them with a similarity score, typically cosine. This is fast because chunk embeddings are computed once at index time. And at query time, you just embed the query and run an approximate nearest neighbor, ANN, search against the index. The trade-off: the model never sees the query and the chunk together, so it cannot capture interactions between specific words in the query and specific words in the chunk. The canonical bi-encoder is SentenceBERT, Reimers and Gurevich, 2019. Cross-encoder, the re-ranking architecture. The query and chunk pass through the encoder together, with self-attention running across both. The output is a single relevant score. This is slow because you have to run the full encoder for every query chunk pair you want to score. You cannot pre-compute. But the score is much better, because the model can attend to query tokens and chunk tokens jointly and pick up signals like, the query asks about X, and the chunk specifically discusses X in this context. The two-stage shape exists because of the cost asymmetry. Bi-encoders are fast enough to scan millions of chunks. Cross-encoders are accurate enough to rank a few hundred. You combine them. The bi-encoder produces a recall-heavy candidate set. The cross-encoder rescores it for precision. Production RAG, that cares about quality, almost always uses both. Queries are rarely well-formed for retrieval. Two structural mismatches between queries and documents cause real problems. The first is brevity. A user types, "What about leave?" when the underlying question is, "What is our company's parental leave policy?" Real systems often rewrite or expand the query, sometimes using a smaller language model, before embedding it. The second mismatch is shape. Queries are short questions, documents are longer answers. Even when the user's query is well-formed, the embedding of "What is our parental leave policy?" lives in a different region of vector space than the embedding of a multi-paragraph HR policy document explaining the same policy. The bi-encoder was trained mostly on document-shaped text, and questions just don't sit where their answers do. HIDE, Hypothetical Document Embeddings, GAO ETL 2022, is one approach to closing this shape gap. Instead of embedding the user's question, you make one extra LLM call asking the model to write a plausible-looking answer document for the query. Then you embed that hypothetical document and use its embedding for retrieval. The hypothetical document is the same shape as the real documents you indexed, so its embedding lands in the right region of vector space. The retrieved chunks then go to the real model for the actual answer. HIDE costs an extra LLM call per query and does not always win. For well-formed queries, plain query embedding is usually fine. For ambiguous or short queries against a large, diverse corpus, HIDE can meaningfully improve retrieval quality. Like re-ranking, it is worth knowing exists. Whether you reach for it is a quality versus cost decision specific to your application. Retrieval is the upper bound on quality. The model cannot answer using a chunk it never saw. A larger language model on top of bad retrieval is still bad rag. Stage 4, prompt construction. You have a question and the top K, retrieved chunks. Now you build the prompt the model will actually see. A typical RAG prompt template looks roughly like this. What is in the template matters as much as what is in the chunks. Three pieces are worth naming. Source labels. Numbering or naming each chunk lets you ask the model to cite where each claim came from, which gives you traceable answers and makes hallucination easier to spot. The grounding instruction, telling the model to use only the provided context and to say, "I don't know otherwise," reduces but does not eliminate the model's tendency to fall back on its pre-training knowledge when the context is silent. Order of context and question. Many implementations put context first and question last, on the theory that the question is what the model should be most heavily conditioned on at the moment of generation. Other implementations put the question both before and after the context. The empirical answer varies by model. The honest answer is to test both on your own evaluation set rather than assume. Stage 5, generation. The model takes the constructed prompt and produces a response. This is the step you understand from earlier lessons. Next token prediction conditioned on the input. What is different is that the input now contains the answer, or at least the source material the answer should come from. The generation stage has its own failure mode, ungrounded generation, where the model produces an answer that uses its pre-training knowledge instead of, or in addition to, the retrieved context. This is most dangerous when the retrieved context is silent on the question, and the model fills in from prior. The grounding instruction in stage 4 is the main defense. Eval is the only way to know if it is working. A second, quieter failure mode worth naming, lost in the middle. Empirical work on long context language models shows that when the prompt is long, the model often pays disproportionate attention to content at the beginning and end, and underweights content in the middle. For RAG, this means the chunk order matters. The most relevant chunks should sit at the head and tail of the context block, not buried in the middle. This is one of the practical reasons re-ranking earns its place. It is also a quiet argument for keeping K small with high precision retrieval, rather than large K with more recall. Where the pipeline breaks. The five stages each have their own way of failing. A short field guide. Stage. Symptom. Common cause. Chunking. Retrieved chunks lack context, or the right answer is split across two chunks. Chunks too large, dilute meaning, or too small, lose context. Wrong boundary strategy for the document type. Embedding. Semantically similar chunks land far apart, or unrelated chunks cluster together. Domain mismatch between the embedding model's training distribution and your corpus. Retrieval. The model says, I don't know, but the answer is in the corpus. Pure semantic search missing keyword matches. Top K, too small. Query phrasing too different from document phrasing. On prompt construction. The model uses prior knowledge despite having context. Missing or weak grounding instruction. Context buried under boilerplate, the model ignores. Generation. The model cites a chunk that does not actually support the claim. The model is confabulating a citation to satisfy the instruction. The right answer is not in the retrieved context, but the model is producing one anyway. Index freshness, cross-cutting. The model gives a confidently wrong answer about something the corpus has updated. Stale chunks in the index, ingestion pipeline behind on updates, deletions never propagated. The reason this matters, you can identify which stage is broken by which symptom shows up. Chasing better generation when the real problem is retrieval, or stale data, is the most common wasted RAG effort. RAG, fine-tuning, and long context prompting. These are the three approaches you will see for give the model knowledge it does not already have. They are different tools with different cost profiles. Use RAG when the answer depends on facts that change, when you need to cite sources, when the corpus is too large to fit in pre-training, when the corpus is private, or when you need to be able to add or remove individual documents on the fly. RAG pays its cost per query, retrieval latency plus the tokens for the retrieved context. Use fine-tuning when you want a behavior or style to persist without paying token cost on every call, when the change is about how the model writes rather than what facts it knows, or when you need consistency across many calls without managing a retrieval pipeline. Fine-tuning pays its cost upfront, the training run, and then is essentially free per query. Use long context prompting, just stuff the documents into the prompt, when the corpus is small enough to fit in the context window and freshness is more important than per query cost. By 2026, 1M, 2M token context windows are mainstream. Gemini 3.1 Pro at 1M, Gemini 3.1 Ultra at 2M, GPT 5.x in similar territory, and Llama 4 Scout pushes to 10M. That makes long context prompting genuinely viable for many use cases that would have required RAG only a year or two ago. The catch is token cost scales with context length on every query, attention cost grows fast, and the lost in the middle effect persists even at long context lengths. Long context complements RAG rather than fully displacing it. Even with 2M token windows, RAG remains preferable for several reasons. Per query cost, loading 2M tokens of context into every query is expensive. Latency, one round trip for retrieval is faster than processing 2M tokens of attention. Traceability, RAG returns explicit chunks with source links. Long context prompting is opaque about which parts of the input mattered. Freshness without recompute. RAG indexes update incrementally. Long context loads the whole corpus every query. And corpus scale, RAG handles billions of chunks. Long context is bounded by the window. The practical shift is not long context killed RAG, but long context is now a real tool in the toolbox alongside RAG with its own cost profile. Production systems often use both. RAG for the bulk of factual retrieval, long context for cases where the relevant document set is bounded and you need the whole picture in one shot. In real systems, they often combine. Fine-tune the model on your domain's writing style or response shape. Use RAG to pull in the specific facts each query needs. Reach for long context only when the document set is bounded enough to live entirely inside the prompt. Why this matters when you use AI? Three direct consequences when you read about AI products or build with them. The assistant knows my company docs almost always means RAG. When a vendor demo shows the model answering questions about a company-specific knowledge base, what is happening underneath is almost never that they fine-tuned a model on the customer's data, rare and expensive. It is almost always that they indexed the customer's data and built a RAG pipeline. Asking the right question, is this RAG or fine-tuning, lets you predict the failure modes you will hit. Retrieval is the upper bound on quality. A bigger model on top of bad retrieval still produces bad answers. When a RAG system gives confidently wrong answers, the productive first move is to inspect what was actually retrieved, not to swap the model. Most "the AI is dumb" complaints in RAG systems are retrieval problems wearing generation clothing. Citations are a feature, not a flourish. A RAG system that returns answers without source links is asking you to trust it. A RAG system that returns answers alongside the chunks it was given is showing its work. Prefer the second. Build the second when you have the choice. Indirect prompt injection. The structural issue RAG introduces. The prompting lesson closed on prompt injection. Instruction-tuned models cannot fully distinguish operator instructions from instructions hidden in user-supplied data, because at the token level, they are both just text that conditions the next token loop. RAG makes the problem worse in a specific way. In direct prompting, the operator at least sees the input the model receives before sending it. In RAG, the model sees content from documents the operator may not have written, may not control, and may not have read. This is indirect prompt injection. The canonical attack is straightforward. A malicious actor publishes a web page, chat message, support ticket, PDF, or any other document type that gets ingested into a RAG index. The document contains text shaped like an instruction. The crude version is obvious. The crude version is also easy to sanitize at index time. Strip the brackets, refuse to ingest content with known injection markers. The harder version is plain prose that does not look like an attack at all. Both attacks work for the same reason. The model sees the text, recognizes it as instruction-shaped, even when there is no marker, please pass this on, is shaped like a request, and may follow it on a subsequent user query. The user gets misleading information attributed to the company's own knowledge base. The plain prose version cannot be defeated by sanitization, because there is no syntactic marker to strip. What makes this harder than direct injection? The application cannot inspect the user's intent at injection time, because the user did not write the malicious content. The injection rode in through the retrieval pipeline, possibly months earlier when the document was first indexed. The defense surface is the entire corpus of indexed content, plus any new documents added after. The visible mitigations are layered, none complete on its own. Source provenance. Prefer documents from sources with known authorship. Treat open user submission channels, public forums, comment sections, scraped third-party pages as higher risk and decide explicitly whether to index them. Content sanitization at index time. Strip or escape sequences that look like instruction frames, DOS, etc. Imperfect. Attackers, iterate. Output filtering. Watch the model's output for patterns that suggest it followed an injection, sudden topic changes, refusals on questions the system should be able to answer, output that does not reference the cited chunks. Action sandboxing. If the RAG-driven assistant can take actions, send messages, call APIs, write files, gate those actions on confirmations and constraints the model cannot override, regardless of what the prompt says. Visible citations. A system that always shows the user which chunks fed the answer makes injection visible after the fact, which at least closes the silent failure mode. The point worth taking away: any RAG system is, by construction, exposing its model to text it did not write. The application surface area for indirect prompt injection is the full retrieval index and everything that ever flows into it. Common pitfalls. A few mistakes are common enough to be worth naming. Treating RAG as a magic upgrade. RAG works when retrieval works. If your chunking is bad or your embeddings do not represent your domain, RAG with the smartest available model still produces bad answers. the first thing to evaluate in a rag system is retrieval quality, precision and recall on a labeled set of queries, not generation quality, using RAG for everything. Some tasks have no retrieval need: translation, summarization of provided text, format conversion. Bolting RAG on top adds latency, infrastructure, and surface area without a benefit. Direct prompting, the previous lesson, handles those tasks directly, skimping on chunking. Sentence-aware, paragraph-aware, and document-structure-aware chunkers consistently outperform fixed-length splits on real corpora. The cost of a better chunker is a few hours of integration. The benefit is the entire downstream pipeline working better. Trusting retrieved content blindly. Anything in your retrieval index is, in effect, in your prompt. Treat the index as untrusted input territory and harden the prompt construction and output filtering accordingly. Apply the Lesson 8 rule. Do not give a model access to anything you would not let the retrieved chunks control directly. Skipping evaluation. RAG quality has two distinct axes: did retrieval find the right chunk, and did the model use it correctly? And both need separate measurement. Sounds right when I tried it. Is not evaluation. A labeled query set with retrieval metrics, recall, precision, MRR, and generation metrics, groundedness, answer correctness, is. What you should remember: RAG is two steps. Retrieve documents relevant to the question, put them in the prompt, and generate the answer using them. Everything else is pipeline. It solves three problems direct prompting cannot: knowledge cutoff, private data, and hallucination grounding, citation surface. The pipeline has five stages, each with its own failure mode: chunking, embedding, retrieval, prompt construction, generation. Identify the broken stage by the symptom. Do not chase generation quality when retrieval is the problem. Retrieval is the upper bound on quality. A larger language model on bad retrieval is still bad. Inspect what was actually retrieved before you swap the model. RAG amplifies prompt injection into indirect prompt injection. The model sees content from documents you may not have written or read. The attack surface is the full retrieval index. Defense is layered. Provenance, sanitization, output filtering, action sandboxing, visible citations. None of them is complete on its own. If you remember one thing, retrieval finds it, the prompt frames it, the model writes it.